Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Good morning, New York. You're here with us.
New York.
Another episode of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion here on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
I'll be back in New York. I'll be back there for the 26th for Bob Wolf's special day that we're going to have for him at the station. Can't wait to get back up there. Found all kinds of neat places while I was up there last time.
Imagine that, a neat place in New York.
Yeah, in Westchester County even. Went to some incredibly huge, huge new mall that reminds me of like Reston Town Center.
Okay.
And it's on top of a big piece of rock. Just south of the Tappan Zee, maybe 7 or 8 miles. Everybody that's listening to the show knows the place I'm talking about.
And they're yelling it at
movie theaters.
It's called
Whole Foods, every kind of dress shop there is. It's unbelievable. Hey, we saw some really good football. But before we get started, let's vent a little bit about A-Rock or whatever his name is.
We do have to talk about
it. It's Alex Rodriguez. For New Yorkers that like him, you can turn us off now. Because, you're not going to like what
New Yorkers love him right now because the Yankees are about to get a fat $25 million check in
the mail. Yeah, but A-Rod isn't going to help them. He weighs 310 pounds right now. Mm-hmm. Have you seen him?
No, I'm saying, look, if they are rooting for him to get
suspended.
Oh, that's
right. He can't play.
If he...
I forgot. Yeah, they got $30 million to spend, basically. Yeah, $25 million in the bonus money, and they had to put the bonus money
away.
That's
a heck of a pawn shop day, man.
Well, they may even have $50 million to spend. And you know what? It's not like Brian Cashman has never told a lie. He may basically... they're going to get the guy. And you know what? If they don't get the guy, you know who's getting him? The Dodgers. And if the Dodgers get him, that'll be perfect for my Giants because my Giants will end up winning the West again and getting ready for another run for another World Series.
I wish another I knew how to pronounce that guy's name. Mikel Tatanka?
Tanaka. It's not hard. Tanaka.
And what's his first name? Makamu?
I don't even I'm just calling him Tanaka. You know, we had a Tanaka, but he was an infielder.
I'm the worst.
Infielder, outfielder. Giants.
I'm
Bruce Hall. You're listening to my show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy Edwards is here today. Everybody, Matt, let's give him a hand.
Yes.
Roy's here on
time.
Famous
guys.
Hey, he got here. He's not sick, I don't think.
No, I'm not sick.
And stay out of small classrooms of kindergarten through second grade because they've all got the flu.
Yeah,
they're all carriers. They're carriers. I love kids, but stay away from me till the spring, please. I don't need to know it. I'm sitting here looking. You know, we were recording we record spots that go on the radio from time to time, and it's funny. But I just want to thank the National Association of Realtors for picking us up for another year. Let's give them a hand.
Yeah.
And let me just tell you this:
we had to whiteboard them or waterboard them to do that.
Yeah, we did.
You will give us
but
another
year. But they're the best, and they're going to be my sponsor.
Good sports.
And. I'm working on seeing if I can't get a few more stations across the country to play our show, too. In the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'll know something about that. The New York Knicks suck. God, they're bad.
They're terrible.
You know what? Why?
Although...
How can you not have a good basketball team in the National Basketball Association when you get to play in Madison Square Garden for all of your home games?
They're both bad too. The Brooklyn Nets are
now
bad
we know. Too. Now I know why my old buddy and this isn't he. You know he never mentioned anything like this about. But remember my buddy that is now the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. Thank you very much. And they're probably going to get nothing but better.
Who the Knicks just beat? Knicks beat them last night. Actually,
oh my God!
Knicks beat the
76ers. Well, they were going to beat him.
102-92.
They were going to beat him. Good old Irish boy.
It's because J.R. Smith just really wants to untie everybody's shoes.
Well, what happened? You know, Bobby Hurley came out in the Post. There was a great article yesterday in the New York Post about how Bobby Hurley goes, this isn't the guy that I coached when he was, in private school and I was his head coach. And, of course, Bobby Hurley's at the University of Rhode Island now as the head coach there. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Hurley was a phenomenal. He's a first-team All-American for like 2 or 3 years. He went 4 years to Duke. Never written. You know, he did get drafted in the NBA. I don't know if he played for New Jersey, but he played for somebody in the NBA, and he got in a horrible car accident. And he almost died. I mean, he was near death for days and came back from it, but he could never play basketball again because, I mean, he literally pulled it out in front of a tractor trailer that was doing, I don't know, 80 or 90 at a stop sign, and the tractor trailer did not have his lights on.
To be fair,
that was the story anyway.
To be fair with the Knicks, they're actually really, I mean, they're really bad. But when you look at the entire Eastern Conference, everybody's bad.
Well, they're like what, 318 or something winning percentage?
They 389. They're 14-22. But if you look at the Wizards, who for some
they're in the playoffs right now. They're in the playoffs.
Somehow the Washington Wizards are the sixth seed in the East at 16-19. So the Knicks are really 2.5 games out of the sixth seed, and they're what? 3 games out of the 4 seed, which is the Raptors. So they're not out of it. They're just thankful that everybody else in the East is terrible. Right.
You're
now
listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. That's Roy. Matt's over on the board. Listen, last night, speaking of the Wizards, they played a game at home in MCI Arena.
Verizon Center.
I always do that. Verizon Center. MCI, Verizon, what's the damn difference? They're all communication firms. But my point is that they had buckets catching water that was leaking from the roof.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I love it.
And they had, I think, 4 stoppages of play because they were trying. Yeah, they had a 2-hour delay. How in the world? I mean, hey, fix your damn roof.
The Verizon Center is great, though.
Yeah, it's great, except for it doesn't have a roof. It's got a leaky roof.
I didn't know that.
It was horrible. And, they were down.
That's my second home,
though. Listen, they were down 27 points or 22 points in the third quarter. They came back and took the lead, and I don't know how the game ended because I went to bed.
Oh. They lost 114 to 107.
Well, they came back, though. They made a run. And who were they playing? Do you remember?
Toronto?
Yeah, they played Toronto last week.
Houston.
I saw the Toronto game. I went to the game. And Toronto beat us like redheaded stepchildren.
The Nets played.
No offense, Matt.
The Nets played Toronto. The Wizards played Houston. And
yes, they did.
So that's who it was. Jeremy Lin, that's your boy.
Yeah, Jeremy Lin. You know what? Evidently, his jersey sales are slightly down from where they were when he was in New York. But supposedly in China, they're still very, very, very – it's the thing to do. It's the thing to buy in China. First of all, because it costs 10 cents.
Well, that and Kobe.
10 cents a shirt. You know,
Kobe is a big seller in China too. They love Kobe. Over
Kobe
China.
Who?
Kobe Bryant, Mr. Achilles.
Yeah, I don't even know who you're talking about.
I believe
about.
His middle name's Achilles now.
I don't even think he's around anymore, is he?
Yeah.
Isn't he hurt?
He signed. Yeah, well, yeah.
Hopefully he's not with some co-ed girl working in a hotel.
No, he
on the 18th floor.
He is hurt, but he signed a huge deal with the Lakers, so he's not going anywhere.
So A-Rod's done for 162 games. Now he does
maybe
have,
more.
Well, he didn't. No, but he has recourse. He can. You know, he's got some kind of appeal process. He's going to take this to the state
Federal.
Supreme Court.
Yeah,
to the local, but it's going to be that local jurisdiction. He has and he's going to hire the best attorneys possible.
Yeah,
but I'm pretty sure that it's you can't have your cake and eat it too. Evidently, there were certain things he used to get there, they're going to hurt him now in his appeals process.
Well, the only...
You know, coming back and playing this year is going to hurt him.
The only real case that he would have is that in a...
They hate me.
In a... That's a
they hate me!
He should have that jersey from the XFL that he hate me. But in the MLB, the suspension process for PEDs goes 50... Correct me if I'm wrong here. 50 games for the first-time offense, 100 games for the second-time offense, and lifetime ban for the third. So where did the MLB get 211 games, and where did they get 162 games? Because that's not one of the three suspension processes.
No, I agree, but it is the MLB.
Right. I don't think that he shouldn't get suspended. I'm just saying, if he's going to get suspended, you might as well play by the rules.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Now, to wrap up the whole A-Rod thing.
Yeah, let's like, do it. Can you do it in 10 seconds? Because you know what? I really hate A-Rod.
I hate him too. But to at least wrap this up, because we do have to kind of have to put a bow on this, because neither you or I want to go on talking about this
guy. He had a 45-year-old man sticking a needle in his butt. I was watching that.
Very odd. Very odd.
Would you let a 45-year-old man that's not your real doctor stick a needle in your ass?
Well, if I'm trying to cheat, I guess you gotta...
I can say ass. It's in the Bible.
Beggars can't be choosers, I guess, right?
Of course, they were talking about a donkey. Yeehaw! Yeehaw!
To put a bow on it.
Yeah, go ahead. Hurry up.
In the steroid era, because the Hall of Fame...
Are you
voting,
still talking? Keep
because
going.
The Hall of Fame voting came out this week. Do you agree with the people not voting even for anyone
who
played in the
era? Got to talk about that. Let's talk about that now. Till we get our first caller. Let's talk about the Hall of Fame. By the way, I called the Hall of Fame. I was the first caller on Monday morning. It wasn't Monday morning because they had the Hall of Fame vote on Wednesday. The announcement was on Wednesday. I was the first caller Thursday morning to a really nice lady in Cooperstown, and she gave me the email address of the man mm-hmm. who handles everything. I sent him a very short email, literally one paragraph, said, I got an idea. I have a plan. I really think I know how to bring this thing back where it needs to be. And you know where it needs to be, Roy? To the fans.
Yeah.
The game is about the fans. It's not about the Baseball Writers Association. I know so many baseball writers, and I'm telling you, every other one is a you-know-what.
They're all in their own agenda.
Well, no, not only that. They're not the greatest guys in the world, and most of them couldn't catch or throw a baseball and look like a man doing it anyway. Now, I'm going to catch a lot of crap for this tirade, but it's true. And I'm going to tell you some of the best baseball writers in the country. I was watching Bob Costas mm-hmm. on TV in New York when I was there with a gentleman in this really good restaurant in Tarrytown. And it's a Mexican restaurant right around the corner of downtown. You know, we've been there.
Exactly,
I went back in there last time I was there. And we're sitting there, and Costas literally said something to the extent, well, you know, you had runners on first and third. Did you ever think about pitching out of a windup just to make sure you got the guy? There was one out. Of course he didn't think about pitching out of a windup. You don't let a guy walk to second base like a bad Little League coach. And I thought to myself, I sent Costas a nasty text that night or somebody on the show, and they sent back, well, thank you very much for your blah, 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 blah. You know what? Bob Costas doesn't know how to play baseball, so I don't want to hear Bob Costas talk about baseball anymore.
I'm not.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
But let me just say this. Three guys got in. They all deserve to get in, all of them. Big Frank Thomas, one of my best friends that was going to be on the show, but there's the East-West Shrine Game in Orlando, Florida this weekend. Or next weekend. I think it might even be tomorrow. But anyway, Ron Middleton of the Jacksonville Jaguars is down there. He was Frank's. When Frank Thomas came to Auburn, he was recruited not as a baseball player. He was recruited as a football player. He was one of the top tight ends in the country. He was 6'4 and a half, 250 pounds of muscle. He didn't do steroids. As a matter of fact, Frank tried to keep his weight down. He had a hard time keeping his weight down, as a lot of big guys do, you know, out mm-hmm. of high school.
Yeah.
But he was a good baseball player, too. He could hit the ball
Very
country mile.
Player, yeah.
Guess who he played for? My suite mate, Hal Baird. He wasn't in my suite, but he was in the baseball suites. 301, 302, 303, Belk Dorm, East Carolina University. Hal Baird was like my big brother. Hal Baird was a left-handed pitcher. From East Carolina, got drafted by the Kansas City Royals, played like 10 years of AAA ball, ended up coming back to East Carolina, being a head coach 1 year and assistant coach the year before that, got the head coaching job at Auburn University in 83, 84, 85, ends up coaching Bo Jackson, Frank Thomas, all these guys. Hal is still an assistant AD down at Auburn. You know, he's probably 64, 65 years old. One of the nicest guys, one of the best baseball people you will ever meet in your entire life. The guy from the Atlanta Braves that the San Francisco Giants picked up in free agency. You know, the pitcher, the right-handed pitcher, and I can't think of his name to save my life, but he coached him too. He was a shortstop/pitcher, great player. Went to Auburn University. A lot of good baseball players come from Auburn University. And Frank Thomas got in. The other two guys that got in, no-brainers. Greg Maddux. Jeez, there are so many Greg Maddux, in my opinion, because I know a little bit. Yeah, Timmy Hudson is the guy. Thank you, Roy.
You're welcome.
I love Roy. Roy's so quick with this stuff. I can never remember Tim Hudson's name to save my life, and I'll tell you why. A lot of Hudsons everywhere.
There is a lot of
Hudsons. I can't keep my Hudsons straight. But Tim Hudson hopefully will win 15 to 20 games for the Giants this year and be part of a World Series championship team. And that's what they're, you know, Brian Sabian and Bruce Bochy are counting on anyway. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to me rant and rave about baseball. Mm-hmm. But Maddux got in. 16 people did not vote for Greg Maddux out of 574 people or something.
One of the guys came out and publicly said that he wouldn't vote for anybody during the steroid era.
No, no.
Anybody.
He voted for one guy, the guy you're talking about, and the guy that he voted for, you're right, and he voted for Jack Morris because he wasn't considered in the era.
Right.
Jack Morris only got 41% of the vote. He wasted his vote. And by the way, that guy caught so much crap on Twitter and over social media that he decided he would never vote again. He's actually giving his vote up. Which, you know, and
is
by
he
the way,
give it up to Deadspin like
No. He's giving it up, period. Back to the and listen, they took and they also took Dan Lebatard's vote away from him. Dan Lebatard's Dan Lebatard, but Dan Lebatard didn't do anything worse than anybody else.
I don't know.
He gave his vote to Deadspin. No, he didn't. He voted and handed it to him, and he actually signed it. He just let them send it in. They didn't vote. They actually talked about it beforehand. You know, I don't even like what's the guy's name that used to be on
Tony Kornheiser.
No. He's the guy. You know, the guy that's when I remember his name, I'll think about it. He's the guy I hate. He's the guy that started doing political TV, and now he's back in sports. He used to be on SportsCenter all the time. Keith Olbermann. Keith Olbermann. I'm not even a Keith Olbermann fan because I hate him. He's an obnoxious, arrogant prick. Okay, but Keith Olbermann came out, and I was on his side this week. I even said so on Twitter because I liked his rant about the Hall. And he's absolutely true. My idea, I will let out, but it's a formula, and it will work. And it will slowly get the baseball writers away from the voting and slowly get the best, smartest fans into the voting. And probably when it would be at its best is when the top 50% of the baseball writers that really do love the game of baseball and actually know who the best players are with those 50 to 100 or 200 people that somehow are able to vote. People like Bruce Hall, who, I mean, I still coach baseball.
Yeah.
Nobody know. I know these guys that played in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and a lot of those guys are the guys that are you know, going to be coming back and trying to get on with the old timers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, Jack Morris was kind of a bubble guy. You know, he had a 3.90 ERA. Yeah, that's true. But back in the day, he also threw 20 complete games a year. Nobody throws complete games anymore. That's how they can keep their ERA down. Back then, they didn't have as many people, 25, 26 people on their active rosters either. Their bullpens weren't 11 deep. They were like 6 deep, you know, because your starter generally, even if he was losing, would throw 9 innings.
Right.
And that's just the way baseball was. The game has changed, just like the game of football has changed, and we're going to talk about that later.
Sure.
But anyway, Maddux got in. Tom Glavine.
Yep.
Here's a guy
got staff, right?
Got drafted in the first pick in the second round by the Edmonton Eskimos. Edmonton Oilers, my bad. National Hockey League. He could have been Wayne Gretzky's teammate. He would have been a little younger than Wayne, but not much, when he was with Edmonton. And decided to play baseball. I saw his scouting report. He had nothing. He threw the ball 82, 83 miles an hour out of high school. He was a great athlete, obviously, because he was a great hockey player, but super cerebral, super smart, good breaking ball. Guess what? He never got to where he could throw at 90, ever. He threw the ball 84 to 87 miles an hour, and he had 4 pitches he could pinpoint for strikes. Another thing that got those guys through was Bobby Cox. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not bad for Bobby Cox, but this just says a lot for guys like me occasionally that, you know, talk it up about their pitchers and you know, complain a little bit to the umpires from time to time. But Bobby, but there was a time when Greg Maddux and John Smoltz and Tommy Glavine could throw a ball 2 to 3 balls outside the strike zone width-wise, and it was called a strike because nobody wanted Bobby Cox to pitch at him because he was the best one at it. And you know, that happened, and these guys were great. Not to take anything away from them. Guys that should have got in my opinion, Mike Piazza, that's a joke.
He'll get in.
Yeah, well, he's going to get in, but for anybody not to keep him on thinking he might have done steroids, you know what? Grow up.
That is ridiculous.
Grow up. He was a big dude when he came out of high school. He didn't have a lot of talent. He played in a league that was okay. It wasn't all that great. He ends up, because his dad and Tommy Lasorda grew up together, getting drafted by the Dodgers. They don't even have 52 rounds anymore. I think he was drafted in the 60th round. Gets drafted in the last round. Ends up in A-ball, double-A. Makes it all the way up to the big leagues at a pretty young age. And he was a big dude already. Mm-hmm. He really didn't even like lifting weights. Michael is a catcher. He's a really good athlete. And I'm going to tell you something. Guys that do steroids don't catch when they're 39, 40 years old. I watched Mike Piazza when he was with San Diego playing for my friend Bruce Bochy, catching several games in a row one time. Seemed to get better with every game. He's a catcher. That's just the way it is. Has more lifetime home runs than any other catcher there is.
Yeah, probably the greatest hitting
catcher. And he also, I think he's got a batting crown, or he was, you know, his lifetime average is right at 300. It's like 299 or 301 or something.
He'll get in, though.
Oh, he should get in, but you can never tell. Because look what these clowns are doing, Roy. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, if you don't agree with me, give us a call. 240-317-7294. I want to argue with somebody.
I think Piazza.
So call in, because Roy's agreeing with me for a change.
I do agree here.
Well, he does. It's hard to disagree with me when we're talking about baseball.
I think Piazza and I think Biggio both get in.
Oh, Biggio? Biggio doesn't get in because of these other idiots, the games they played. If they cost Craig Biggio a trip to the Hall, I'm personally going to smack both of them. Mm-hmm. 2 votes he lost.
Yeah.
He needed just 2 votes out of all of those guys, and he's in.
He was at like 74 and change. 74.6%.
He needed 2 more votes, and he would have got in. I'm Bruce Hall. That's Roy Edwards. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS. We got some guys calling in. We got Mr. Snyder. Ricky Snyder's going to call in. We're going to talk about the most touchy-feely hire. John Gruden's little brother got hired, Jay Gruden, who, you know, every time John was on national TV, talked him up like, you know, I mean, he couldn't have gotten millions of dollars worth of marketing that John gave him. And listen, let me tell you this. One of the things I do like about this guy is his energy and his passion.
Yeah.
You know, I both agree about that. Yeah. I read a piece. I just about knocked over everything on the table. You know what I did? I went to bed at 10 o'clock last night. I didn't even see the second half of the second game. You know why? I knew it was over.
It was over.
But
before we go too far away from MLB, because we're right about up against the segment
here. No, that's good.
I want to get your opinion on something I heard this week about the MLB Hall of Fame.
Okay,
so there's the Negro League, right?
Yeah.
And they have their own hall and section of the hall.
Right.
So I heard somebody raise the question of possibly doing the same thing with the steroid era and the guys who are like Barry Bonds, these kind of guys who have records, and putting them in a section of the hall under the steroid era. I don't want to get your opinion on something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. Here's the
problem. Because you can't ignore the numbers.
No, you can't. But here's what else you can't do. You really can't separate the guys that did and didn't, because there's too many of them that we don't know the answer to.
Right.
Now, listen, if those guys were willing to say, yeah, you know, I did, then I could see it. But if they do that, they're going to lose votes, too. So I don't see that ever happening.
So somebody like Mark McGwire and Sosa, these guys.
McGwire's a guy that needs to worry about it.
They're trending down.
Because he wasn't a great baseball player. He was just a phenomenal power hitter. Sammy Sosa is a guy that's not going to get in.
Right.
Trust me. He ain't getting in. Rafael Palmeiro. Now, listen, every year, the cutoff line, you want to hear something very sad if you liked Rafael Palmeiro. And I liked Rafael Palmeiro, because he was one of my favorite players, and I never, ever thought he did steroids, but he did hit a lot of bombs for a long time, and he was healthy for a long time. Rafael Palmeiro is done. Sammy Sosa is not done with the Hall. We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. See you in a minute.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Now we let him off the hook.
So the MLB, we just wrapped that up. So if you guys are looking to talk more about the MLB, maybe hit us on Twitter. At Bruce Hall Sports or at Sports Man Cave, because we are done for that.
Well, next year there's four that are going to probably go in. You got guys like, you know, you got Randy.
Well, Randy, yeah.
Randy Johnson's going to go in. And you would think Randy Johnson would be almost a, you know, guy that goes in unanimously, but it ain't going to happen with this group voting here.
Yeah.
You know, they'll probably say, oh, hell, he grew those last 2 inches because he probably did steroids. You know, Randy Johnson's the furthest thing from a steroid user I've ever seen. Ever seen in my life. But there's four or five guys that'll go in next year, and there should be two more. You know, I mean, Biggio's got to go in.
And
Piazza should go in.
They both should go
yeah,
in.
Yeah, should. I mean, we don't know. Hopefully, you know what? If I don't hear from this guy from Cooperstown this week, I'm going to drive up there. Only like 6-hour drive.
It'll be Biggio's third ballot, right?
You know what I might do? I might drive to Cooperstown and then go to New York City for that, you know, for Bob's.
For that football
deal.
Game that's up there. What's that game?
Super Bowl. Oh, the Super Bowl, right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I may be going up there and staying in Times Square for that.
For the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm thinking about
it. I might just drive up and sleep on the station floor.
No, well, you could just stay awake. Everybody will be awake.
Yeah.
There'll be a band probably in Penn Station playing music. And if not, there'll be the little guys with, you know, with their guitar cases open. Yeah. Just toss a couple bucks in there and dance a little bit.
Just keep playing. Buddy.
Can we do this? Pull up. Let's talk about the games yesterday.
Sure.
First of all, that first game, boy, it was ugly. You know, a lot of people. If you noticed, if you were on Twitter, this game's already played. And by the way, that was good. First of all, I loved that game, and I'm going to tell you why. The over-under was 45. What a joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, first of all, they scored a ton of points right at the end of the game and still was not close to going over.
Talking about the Saints game.
First of all, Russell Wilson's his last five games, he's not hurt, but something's going on with that offense. A lot of it's the offensive line. They've had injuries on their offensive line, the Seattle Seahawks have. Their defense has been a little banged up. And as you know, they lost two guys due to drugs and something else, a couple of injuries. But God, they keep bringing these guys that weren't even drafted and putting them in their lineup, very similar to what the New England Patriots do. It's called coaching, people. There are great players all over the country that don't even get drafted in the first seven rounds. There are guys that will hang around on practice squads and work out with the team. And they just want to make it so bad. Guess what? They end up making it. And this team is a perfect example of that. You know who they remind me of, Roy? And you'll probably agree with me here. Back when I was in Tampa for the Super Bowl several years ago, like 12 years ago, when the Ravens won it.
Yeah.
You know, and remember what they had? They had Dilfer at quarterback.
Yeah,
they had a great running back.
Yeah.
The kid from Tennessee.
Jamal Lewis.
And they had, you know, really not much of a passing game at all, but they could pass the ball. But they had Brandon Stokley. He wasn't MVP, but he caught a touchdown pass in that game.
Was Trent Dilfer MVP?
Yeah, he was the quarterback of the team. See, and Russell Wilson.
Wait, no. No, Ray Lewis was MVP.
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't even care about Trent Dilfer.
Because of the thing.
But Trent Dilfer was the quarterback of the team. And the thing of it is that was a defensive team. They got there because of their defense. Listen, no matter what you say about Marshawn Lynch, you know, he's a little bit of the reason why those guys are going to get to the Super Bowl.
I mean, he's a big
and they
reason.
Are going to get to the
he
Super
is
Bowl.
A big reason.
Now, I picked San Francisco to win.
Me too.
But I don't.
Yeah,
I picked San Francisco and whatchamajigger, right?
Denver. Yeah.
To be in the Super Bowl this year. San Francisco right now, they were a one-point favorite when I came on the show.
And
they're a one-point dog now.
Yep.
Which, now, this is a late run. This is not the wise guy vote. This is probably, you know, the public. So hopefully they're wrong. Because I just think, I've watched Carolina play. Now, Carolina is good. But I watched Drew Brees totally abuse their defensive backfield two games. They doubled the – if you look – if anybody wants to do this for me, I have a photographic memory. If you look at those two games, they split with New Orleans. New Orleans beat the dog crap out of them in the Dome, which is what they do to most everybody. But if you've got a great team, you should do okay in the Dome. You won't get blown out. They got blown out. Then they went back to Carolina, to Charlotte, and played the second game. And if you remember that, Carolina scored right at the end of the game to win the game. It was like a touchdown pass from Cam Newton to barely pull it out. The total yardage in that game was ridiculous. New Orleans had like almost 400 yards total offense. Carolina had 200 yards total offense. Carolina is not as good as everybody's making them out to be. They're just not. And I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to – I don't think there's any way they win that game.
Neither do I.
I think today that you're going to see those guys get behind and not be able to come back. Now, if they get ahead and they have a lead going into the third or fourth quarter, they could win the game. But – San Francisco has better players, in my opinion, a better defense, and, you know, in my opinion, a better quarterback. I like Cam Newton, but I don't love him. Colin Kaepernick does exactly what he – last week proved what he's like, Roy. He did everything he had to do, taking him down and scoring at the end of the game.
I agree. I think Cam Newton was the worst, now because there's no longer eight quarterbacks in, because we obviously played two games yesterday, so two of the quarterbacks are out. But I had Cam Newton the worst of the eight remaining quarterbacks.
I think that's fair, and it's not because he's bad. It's just there's so many good quarterbacks.
There's eight quarterbacks, and
hey, he's better than Robert Griffin. I'll give him that.
He's better than Robert Griffin.
He's a lot better than Robert Griffin.
I don't think he's the worst quarterback in the league by any means. I think that he's a solid quarterback, but I think he's a middle of the pack guy. I don't think that. And some of the quarterbacks who are left, they're elite, verge of elite kind of guys.
Can you go to can you pull up their the guys they have out? Jonathan Stewart's out. They don't have him. They do have D'Angelo Williams. You know, he's gonna be their guy. He's gonna need to carry the ball 15 to 20 times for Carolina to have a chance, in my opinion. You know, they got Brandon LaFell, who's a decent number three. Steve Smith may not play. Steve Smith is a game time decision, and evidently he didn't practice Friday. So a lot of times, if you don't practice Friday, you don't play in a game. But Steve Smith is an older veteran, and chances are Steve Smith is going to try to play. But he's 60% maybe. You know, he's not going to get any separation from anybody. He's a little bitty guy. He's not even going to want to block anybody. Now, Steve Smith normally is a really good blocker for their running game. Look at San Francisco's offense right now. They got Crabtree back. What a difference that makes. Now, all of a sudden, they can't double Anquan Boldin. If they double Anquan Boldin and leave Crabtree one-on-one for the whole game, Roy, what's going to happen? He's going to catch 12, 13 passes for 150 yards and two touchdowns, and they're going to beat them.
The 49ers have weapons all around.
They got Vernon Davis, who may be the best tight end in the league. Now, I will say this.
Crabtree's back.
Carolina's got a good tight end, too. The big, tall, skinny kid. He's tough.
Greg Olson, I believe.
Yeah, he's tough as hell. Used to be a Chicago Bear. He's good. Think about it. Wasn't one of the scores of their game when Carolina came to Candlestick and beat them 10-9?
Yeah.
It was a completely defensive
game. No Crabtree.
All defense.
And there was one other person was out for San Francisco who didn't play that
game. They had a couple of guys out. Mm-hmm. San Francisco right now, I mean, running back wise, Frank Gore, to me, it looked like, I don't think Frank Gore's 100%. But I don't think Frank Gore has to be 100% to be effective.
Here is the Carolina Panthers injury report.
All right, let's talk.
Colin Cole, defensive tackle, questionable.
Right.
Ben Hartstock,
he's
probable.
Done. Yeah.
Quentin McKell, probable.
Right. Keep going.
Steve Smith, questionable with a knee. Yeah. And Jonathan Stewart, questionable with a knee.
Yeah, Stewart's not supposed to play, and I'm pretty sure that Smith is a game time. San Francisco, on the other hand, they're pretty healthy. And let me tell you what scares me if I'm playing San Francisco. That front seven, they're monsters. They're monsters. Last week, if you remember, Aldon Smith had cramps because he hadn't played much. He'd been injured for a while. Mm-hmm. He had cramps and was making tackles and sacks with a cramp. He would make a sack and he would leave the field limping. Then he'd come back like four plays later and block a pass. Those guys are going to be tough. I'm taking San Francisco. I'm going to tell everybody right now, you couldn't talk me out of San Francisco right now. Who are you taking, Ron?
I got San Francisco. I have San Francisco winning it all.
That was an early pick.
Still got it.
All right, so you're still on the 49ers. Good for you. All right, let's talk about the other game, the one I missed half of, and I watched most of it this morning. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. Hey, Roy, tell them who may be calling in today.
It was Brian O'Leary of Spygate, the book.
Yeah. And for those of you that follow me on Twitter at Bruce Hall Sports, yeah, I call them cheaters because once a cheater, always a cheater. They haven't, what did they lose, Roy? They lost a number one draft pick.
Yeah.
And they lost $500,000. That's nothing for them, right? And here's another thing I don't like about Spygate and about what happened. I mean, it's like the Kennedy assassination. You know, I don't know if anybody has died because of it, like the Kennedy assassination, where hundreds of people have died. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you cheat during a period of time when people look, and if you ever get the book Spygate by Brian O'Leary and read it once or twice, that is one incredible book. It is one of the best books I've ever written, purely backed up by quotes and facts of people who are still around in the NFL. Guys like Chris Mortensen. Chris Mortensen is on a ESPN show earlier this week, and he and a young guy who is part of their roundtable in the NFL discussion get into almost a verbal agreement about the NFL going to two more teams next year, Roy?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
The NFL's talking about two more teams.
Right, yeah, no, I heard about that.
Well, these guys are arguing. The kid is going, look, there's no way that this is going to work. And I agree with the kid. I think that six in each league is enough. And I like the bye week for the teams that have earned the right to get a rest. And this kid is like on that side. Chris Mortensen is, he's the league freaking mouthpiece. Yeah, well, blah, 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 blah. And this is going to be better. It's all about this. And Arizona was 11-5 this year, blah, blah. And then finally, after getting so fed up with this kid that has a good argument in the roundtable discussion, mm-hmm. Chris Mortensen goes, well, listen, it's going to happen. Get used to it. You know what? Chris Mortensen knows because he was the guy that had the leading story on Spygate. And guess what happened? Like Dan Rather, he disappeared. The head didn't go back and to the left. The head went violently forward when the president was shot. Let me tell you something. Him, Jay Glazer, and a number of other guys, they're all NFL butt boys, in my opinion. They just are, like Snyder butt boys. We know what they are.
Yeah, we know
what they are. I'm Bruce Hall. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a few minutes on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
If you're just joining us now, we are talking about the Saturday NFL Divisional Round games that were played yesterday. The New Orleans Saints defeated the Seattle Seahawks. No, they lost the Seattle Seahawks.
That's
15-23. I'm really good at reading.
Doesn't matter.
And the New England Patriots crushed the Indianapolis Colts 43-22 with the Patriots covering their point spread of, I believe, 7.5, and the Seattle Seahawks and Saints splitting down the middle, whereas if you got it early, then the Seahawks covered.
Yeah, you can hit the middle.
Jumped on it late, then the Saints
That's the only time in handicapping people hitting the middle. It's when you make two separate bets and both of them are possible winners. Guess what? Both of them won yesterday. Mm-hmm. If you got them at -7.5, you hit. If you had them at +9, +8.5, +10,
yeah,
it went all the way to 10.5.
Yep.
And then it jumped back down. I got to tell you, it doesn't get any more exciting than this. My futures, by the way, I've only lost two teams I bet futures on. I've hit seven. And, my biggest future was what? Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I hit that in November. And that was my only four.
Yeah, right.
I say four star. I mean four figure.
What were they?
That was my only four figure play.
Were they 5.5, six games?
They were 7.5.
7.5?
Yeah, and they won their 8th and 9th game in early November. And then they lost 4 out of 6 games.
Yeah.
And or 5 out of 7.
13, what were they?
They were 9-0. They went 9-0, they ended up 13-3, and they lost their first game by blowing that huge lead they had against Andrew Luck. And
there were little rumblings of that possibly happening yesterday, and it just never got to it.
No,
he did make a comeback. He got it within 7, but he was never able to dig himself out of the hole. Threw 3 interceptions for the second straight playoff game. So he threw 9 interceptions. Andrew Luck, this is, threw 9 interceptions through the regular season, threw 6 interceptions through the postseason. So not exactly his best 2 games. Although who can really argue against what he did to the Chiefs? Couldn't repeat yesterday against the Patriots.
You know, Ian Rappaport is reporting that Ryan Matthews is going to play on that bad ankle of his.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, he's playing against he's playing against Denver. They're not a great defense, but they'll all be putting helmets on that foot. I can tell you that right now, because those guys are going to try to get him out of there. They have a couple of other running backs that do a pretty good job. We're going to talk about that game in a little while. Let's just talk a little bit about the game that was played last night. You know, Bill Belichick, even if he does cheat, okay, is a great football coach. He's a very Barry Bonds-like guy when you talk about the Hall of Fame. Now, is he going to make the Hall of Fame in the National Football League? Because 70% of the hierarchy in the league know that this guy cheated in order to get 3 of his Super Bowl trophies. I'm just saying he may not. But one thing he has done, and he does on a regular basis, yesterday they ran the football an incredible amount of times.
If I had told you going into the game that Tom Brady would be 13 of 25 for 198 yards and no touchdowns, and Andrew Luck would be 29 of 41 for 331 yards, who would you have thought won that game?
Exactly.
I mean, no touchdowns for Tom Brady, and he's chasing the most touchdowns in playoff history. He's only 2 off the lead. I believe he has 43.
Hey, where did
Brett Favre has 44?
Where did they play though? They played at home. They don't lose at home very often. Now, aren't they undefeated at home this year? They are. And I'm going to tell you another thing too. They're undefeated, but they almost lost 4 of those games. There 3 of those games they could have lost easily, and they won right at the end. There was one of the best, 7 times this year they say they've caught Belichick smiling. They had them all on Facebook yesterday. And I got to tell you, I like the guy a lot. And I like him for a number of reasons. I like him because he was close to his father. His father was a coach at the Naval Academy. I like him because he worked his way up. I like him because he was kind of this pain in the butt little nerdy boy that just made it.
He's still
that guy, but I got to tell you something. He has made football probably a better place, except for the cheating part. Now, and look, that's documented. I'm not going to keep going over and over that. But let me tell you, isn't that the problem that you have when somebody's cheated and you let them back? You're always going to wonder in the back of your mind, God, are they cheating again?
Yeah.
I don't know, but all I know is they knew to run the football, 35 times yesterday? They had 3 running backs that carried the ball in double figures, I'm pretty sure. If you pull that up, you'll see.
Yeah, they had LeGarrette Blount rushed 24 times, Stephen Ridley 14 times, and those are the 2 leading rushers.
Is that amazing? That's 38 carries. But I got to tell you, what I like about that game is Brady went down the field throwing the football with the first drive. The first 2 drives, he used the pass a lot. 14-0, boom. Then, with that lead, Belichick was smart enough to go, you know what? They're going to go to the nickel. We're going to run the ball for until they stop us. They never stopped them.
LeGarrette Blount had a career day. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's who he used to play for.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's the kid from Oregon that punched a guy on national TV.
Yeah, against Boise State.
He has a good left cross, by the way. That was if you have tape of that game with Boise State and Oregan, that was a classic left
great
cross.
Yeah.
Lee with the elbow come across the chin. Boom! And that kid was on Queer Street. He had no idea where he was.
24 carries.
I'm sorry. I'm a boxing fan too.
24 carries, 166 yards, 4 touchdowns for LeGarrette Blount.
You know what? And he had 3 of them in the first half.
Not a bad game.
Do you know what the record was? 5. Who said it? I can't remember. It was on. It might be Marcus Allen. Somebody like that. It's somebody ridiculous.
It's probably Marcus Allen against the Redskins.
No, that was the Super Bowl game. They didn't score that many points. But I got to tell you, they did a great job running the football. Now, next week, what do you guard against? I'll tell you what else. Danny Amendola stepped up. But in my opinion, their MVP was that other kid, the wide receiver number 11.
Edelman.
Oh, Julian Edelman. He's the kid that got caught, you know, grabbing some girl in the butt in a bar last year and got in a little bit of trouble, but he got out of it.
The NFL record for most touchdowns.
And that's true, by the way. That was documented. That was in the Boston Globe. I read it. Okay. It's got to be true if it was in the Globe.
This is a team record. The Pats had 6 rushing touchdowns total last night. The NFL team record is 7 set by the Bears in December of 1940. And I'll get you the single person.
I wasn't even alive then.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe.
LeGarrette Blount obviously set a New England Patriots record for most rushing touchdowns in a game because, let's face it.
Who was the leading receiver? You say he was 15 for 28 or something. Mm-hmm. It had to be Edelman.
It is Edelman, yeah.
What did he catch, 7 balls?
6 balls, 84 yards.
He was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Did you see him running after the catch? You know who he reminds me of? He's like Welker, only I think he's faster than Welker.
Well, he's younger than Welker.
Well, you know what? That's a good reason to let Welker go. Well, look how they spent that money.
Well, then they got Danny Amendola brought in,
who's always injured. Hey, speaking of always injured, how about poor Percy Harvin yesterday? Now, you know I hate Percy Harvin.
Yeah, poor guy.
I don't hate him personally. I just hated the money they spent to get him. But you know what? Even though Percy Harvin went out at the end of the first half, he made a big impact in that game. He caught that ball over his shoulder, and he caught – yes! He did a good job, and he got laid out one time with a perfect tackle with his shoulder. And then the next time, the guy bounced his head off the turf. That was his fault. Don't go to your face. You're just asking some big, stupid guy to jump on top of you. I'm Bruce Hall, and it's like that commercial. Well, the commercial where it starts with the guy hang gliding, and he runs into the power, and the grid goes down. He goes, "Don't get your father punched in the stomach."
Don't get him punched for a can of soup.
It's 5 rushing touchdowns is most in a single playoff game, and there's a bunch of guys who did it.
Hey, by the way, Wes Welker is going to play today.
Riggo's on that list of 5 touchdown guys.
Oh, he was a monster. It was against. I tell you who it was against. Detroit. I was there.
It was against the LA Rams.
Oh, the Rams. That was even earlier.
In 83.
Yep, that was – well, that was like Riggo's next to last year, I think.
Ricky Waters did it with San Francisco against the Giants.
He had 5.
Yep, yeah. So did Riggo.
It was Ricky Waters I was thinking about. Ricky Waters was a Philadelphia Eagle, too. And
you know what? Ricky Waters is the only guy.
He is the guy with 5, yeah, because it wasn't Riggins.
Riggo did 3. A lot of guys did 3.
Let's do this before we get anybody on the phone, and we are going to have a couple of people calling in. We got Ricky Snyder is going to call, and we're going to talk about the hire in Washington, because that's going to affect the Giants. It's going to affect, you know. And by the way, I mean, nothing's more fun than watching Dan Snyder be an idiot. And basically, you know, anytime when you've hired your 8th head coach in 15 years. I think next to idiot in the dictionary is a picture of an NFL coach that's hired 8 guys in 15 years. Because I'm pretty sure the Pittsburgh Steelers have only hired 3 in 57 years.
All time.
That's pretty ridiculous. Right? Yeah, and you know what? I don't see Tomlin ever leaving, especially after that dance on the sidelines.
Well,
I would keep him another 10 years just because of that. He should have thrown an elbow. Should have stepped out with his leg. Wow!
There were a lot of rumors of him tied to the Texas job.
Did you get in a fight?
I don't know. There was a.
Oh my God!
There was a lot of rumors of him tied to the Texas job. So I don't know if him. He didn't go to the Texas job. No, Charlie Strong got the Texas job. But the fact that those rumors existed, and the fact that ESPN and NFL Network were acknowledging the fact that there was a possibility that he could be tied to this job, could raise some red flags about Tomlin maybe leaving not soon, but in the future.
You're talking about University of Texas.
Yeah.
Boy, well, I was sitting there going, Charlie Strong, Texas?
Yeah.
But you're talking about Longhorns.
That's right, yeah. Bill O'Brien, I believe, is the Houston Texans.
And he's done everything right so far except for, you know what he is? Hello, cheater. That's right. He's one of Belichick's boys. I don't trust him. We got a caller?
No.
Oh, you looked like you were getting into it there, Matt.
He was just doing his job.
He was. Hey, let's look at today's games.
Sure.
What's the line? Is it still 1? On the Panthers?
Let me check. Updated lines. No, it's moved back to San Francisco.
Is that amazing? It's bouncing back and forth.
It is bouncing.
And you're not going to hit the middle between -1 and +1. That's 0.
It looks like the total has moved too.
Yeah, there will not be a tie today. I can honestly say that. They're not going to allow them to tie and come back.
The total moved to 41, so I believe that's down, right?
Yeah.
And then the Broncos...
No, actually, it's up. 40.5 was it.
Okay, so it moved up a half.
And then, you know what?
The Broncos line has moved as well. That's 8 now.
Yes, it has. Now, and thank God I was in there in the National... Oh, by the way, National Handicappers Bowl. NHBowl, B-O-W-L.com. See how the best handicappers in the country are doing. I'm one of them. I'm doing a lot better than I was during the regular season. Right now, I'm 7-1 on the last 2 weeks, and hopefully today. I don't know if I'm even going to play either total. I like the under in the Carolina 49er game a little bit, and I like the over in the Bronco Charger game a little bit, which means if you like it a little bit, leave it alone. Unless you play around with a three-game teaser. The best teaser today, honestly, San Francisco +9, Denver +2, over 44 Denver. I think that's a winner. And if you know what I'm talking about, play it. And if I lose, don't call
teaser,
me. Okay? You can reach me, by the way, 24-7, 1-800-466-4748. I pick up the phone. For some reason, I have almost the same number as an insurance company. So I've sold a lot of insurance this week. I have checks coming from everywhere to my address.
They might actually be a new sponsor on the show, whoever they at that AM.
They're going to, if I ever write my name on the back of the check. I've asked everybody, please make the check out to Bruce Hall Sports.
Just for the sake of argument, I'm going to give you picks so this doesn't come back at
Let's talk about why. Matthew, we got 1 minute. Let's just start on the Carolina game.
Sure.
Let's talk about why we both like San Francisco. I like San Francisco, Roy, just because they have a better, in my opinion, offense. They have a better defense. And I don't think San Francisco cares where they play. They already lost to Carolina at home. You don't think they want to go in there and kick their butt at their place? Mm-hmm. Of course they do. I don't think Carolina, although for the first time in a long time, Carolina played pretty well at home. They really did. But it's not a home field advantage. What do you think?
No, I agree. I think that the Panthers don't have the line that's going to be able to keep up with the San Francisco defense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Panthers and Cam Newton has been sacked 43 times this season. That's fifth most in the league. So, and his completion percentage is about halfway down the list. So he's going to have a rough day.
We'll be back in a minute on Bruce Saul's Second Opinion on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
And we're back here. News Talk 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I believe we have a call on the line. Caller, are you there? You are live on the air with Bruce and Roy.
Who is this?
Hey, it's Rick Snyder.
Hey, Ricky. How are you, buddy? Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Hey, listen. We had something very exciting happen here in the Washington. By the way, Rick Snyder is everywhere. Rick, tell everybody where they can find you.
Well, we're for the Washington Post Express. You can go to readexpress.com. That's probably the best way to find me.
Hey, we're getting ready. We saw two good games yesterday in the NFL. The first game looked about what I thought it would look like, although I thought that towards the end of the game, the Seahawks made it really exciting by scoring as quickly as they did and giving the ball back to their opponent, and their opponent scored and got an onside kick and could have made it a lot more exciting than that stupid play they drew up. Did you get a chance to see that at all, Rick?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I mean, I thought the Saints could win that game going in, although it's very tough in Seattle. I've been there. It's beyond loud, and that does make a difference. And, you know, New Orleans blew a couple things early, and that really cost them the game in the end.
Yeah, it did. It really did. We had a lot of stuff happen here. You know, the one thing you can say about the Washington Redskins, and I consider you to be, in my opinion, one of the top guys by far in the Washington area, and you know we get to see everybody and talk to him every day here, is is what Dan Snyder generally makes happen when you've gone through on your eighth head coach in 15 years. Tell me what you think about Gruden's hire. You know, Jay Gruden got hired this week. Tell me what you think. Was it the guy that you were looking for?
Well, I guess in the end, because there really wasn't too much out there that was big names that Snyder likes to hire. I mean, Lovie Smith was really the top name, and they didn't get him. You know, they were interested in him, but he had a better deal. After that, you're kind of looking at a lot of guys that are somewhat the same, and it's just which one do you want? I think they got a decent one in Jay Gruden. I like his resume in that it's a non-traditional, you know, arena ball, UFL, played in NFL Europe. The key being he's won everywhere he's went, and that's always a good thing to see. Because that shows me that he has the versatility to adapt to whatever. And some people really say that they think he'll be a better head coach than an offensive coordinator, which is a really curious comment to make. But having met him, I can see where he is someone that can pull a group together, and that's going to be really needed. I wouldn't say the pick has been met with great applause in D.C., because, you know, they're spoiled. They want to see somebody come out of retirement like Cowher.
Yeah.
But I say let's let him get to minicamp before we declare it a disaster.
Yeah, I totally agree. The thing, Rick, I like about the pick, and we're talking to Rick Snyder here. You can follow Rick at Snide, SNIDE _ remarks on Twitter. Rick, the thing I like about him is I like the fact that he was in the Arena Football League. I like the fact that he actually played and was an MVP. I like the fact
that fourth best time AFL player ever, apparently.
Yeah, I like the fact that he loves the game. And, you know, he comes from, you know, he's got the DNA. I mean, you know, his brother John won a Super Bowl. Wasn't his team, but he won a Super Bowl. And you could arguably say, well, yeah, that wasn't his team, but he played the team that he built up from the Oakland, you know, the Oakland team that he beat when he was with Tampa Bay. I think he's probably a lot better player than John. I know he's a lot bigger. The thing I liked about him was just he's a real personable guy. Seems like he's you've heard all of the mentions and the tape they have on him. I like the fact that he drops an F-bomb here and there. You know, I mean, it makes him kind of like a normal guy. You know what I mean? I doubt Mike did too much of that.
Yeah, it was interesting. In his opening speech, he talked about trying to win for so many different groups and even mentioned FedEx Field workers. Who does that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, Shanahan never even looked at a FedEx worker, so... I think he is a good, everyday kind of guy. Now, does that survive here? I don't know, because Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen and the predecessors, they tend to corrupt them more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Jim Zorn, very nice man, smart guy, but he totally crumbled in this organization.
Yeah.
And maybe Bruce Allen makes a little bit of difference here versus his predecessor, Vinny Serrato,
yeah.
And that's Allen doesn't, you know, he's a good buffer on a lot of things, and that may really help Jay Gruden a lot. So I think there's so much work on this team. You know, I don't know if any coach can pull them out of the ooze again, but, you know, they only won 3 games and they don't even have the first round pick. So that's really a bummer, but I think he was a decent pick.
So Mike Shanahan was very closed off to the media. There was no real secret about that. He didn't really like to say a lot, hid everything, all of his moves, thought he was, you know, the king mastermind. And the first thing, what really surprised me about the hire, more so on the franchise of the Redskins, was Gruden is all over the place talking to the media. He was on 106.7 The Fan in D.C., which Shanahan was never on. And you know, Snyder, I believe, is even suing one of their media guys. He was more open in the press, in his press room with the media. So is this a PR move on the Redskins' point, or is this just simply Jay Gruden being Jay Gruden?
I think it's a media move. The Redskins have really never been a very good media organization for many years. It's just abysmal sometimes. And I think they're trying to make a move here to open up things again. And they do have a personable guy. I mean, Shanahan wasn't really interested in the local media. We had a showdown with him very early where he basically said, you're my guys, you'll do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
We said, no, we're not. I don't think Washington's media horde is as bad as we're portrayed. But then again, everybody that comes here thinks we are, so maybe we are. But, you know, we just ask you to win. win, and everybody will kiss your butt. Let's be honest.
Boy, that does happen, I tell you, because I grew up in Northern Virginia, and I've been a Redskin fan since Norm Snead, as you know, Rick. Rick, let me ask you a question real quick, too, here. Defensively now, the Redskins were pretty bad this year, and a lot of the reasons that they were was that $36 million over the last 2 years they took as a buffer hit for, you know, breaking the rules, supposedly, or whatever. And you know, that's neither here nor there. What I want to know is, do you think Haslett's the guy defensively? Because obviously he's not going anywhere because he hired Gruden in the AFL, right?
We fired him,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, right now they don't have anything official. The word is Haslett becomes assistant head coach and Raheem Morris would become the defensive coordinator and be more involved there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that will happen, but that's been the scuttlebutt. Fans certainly won't be happy because Haslett's defenses have been awful. Now, he hasn't always had the personnel. There's no doubt of that. And Haslett knows football. But in the end, you got to win. And I'm a little surprised that he's staying, although nothing's official yet. He may not. But I'm a little surprised with that because their defense is, I will say, they got better the second halves of most years. But, you know, they were god awful in the beginning. That's just crazy how bad they can be. You know, I wouldn't have been surprised if they had changed coordinators. It's a big surprise, in fact.
A lot of people are speculating that the reason why Haslett stayed on staff was because Jay Gruden was the guy all along, and Haslett has that history with Gruden, so it was kind of a bait to get Gruden to come into Washington because he knows him, trusts him with the amount of free agents that Washington has on the defensive side of the ball. Is there any truth to that?
Well, a little. I mean, I know seeing Haslett leave the last day, it was kind of funny. We saw Haslett at the same time we saw Kyle Shanahan in the parking lot. Kyle's parking his car there, and he's loading boxes. And we're all saying goodbye to him, and we see Has, and Has basically says, you know, I've been told to hang out. I'm not expecting to come back. That was pretty much his feelings. And then suddenly, here we are. Now, I do think Jay Gruden was the guy they targeted all along, and they did. But I did some due diligence, because whenever you interview coaching candidates from around the league, you ask them to, you know, what would you do with our roster? What would you do here? It's a due diligence kind of thing, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it's all legal. But it really, the guy that really wanted, they had to wait a week for Gruden. So, and then Gruden has, you know, boy, Gruden would be a pretty cool guy to say, hey, Has, I know you hired me and gave me a big break at one time, but I'll see you down the road.
Hey, Ricky, let me ask you a question. Can you stay on and pick a couple of games with us?
Sure.
All right.
I'll pick them all.
We'll be back in a minute. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to brucehallsports.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're on the phone with Rick Snyder right now. Rick, we're going to let you pick some games with us. There's not a lot of them today. There's just two. The first game today, obviously, is San Francisco in a little payback game. They got beat at home earlier this year, 10-9, by the Carolina Panthers. They go back into Carolina, into Charlotte. A lot of banged up guys. Who you like in this game?
Well, first off, I'll say bet who I don't pick because I stink at this. But
don't tell me that. I will.
You know, if that's how you make your money. I'm known as a horse racing
guy.
Oh,
I know you are, and we're going to have you. Yeah. Hey, we've had you on for horse racing.
Yeah.
So, but I like San Francisco all the way, so I'm going to take them today because I just think they're a more battle-tested team. You know, Carolina, you know, and their quarterback have not done this kind of pressure. Yeah, they have a week off, but I think San Francisco is the best team. I still think they're better than Seattle a little bit. So I got to go with them there.
You know, I agree with you, too.
And
let me give you a little – I'm not big on statistics. I'm not one of those handicappers that throw you 15 different trends and statistics. But I will say one thing I saw, and I only saw it on one periodical this week, is Riverboat Ron Rivera is 0-3 after a bye week. And they had a bye week, so maybe he has a hard time getting them motivated and getting them rolling afterwards. Both Roy and I are on San Francisco,
yeah.
Rick, and you are, so that That means we're all three in trouble, probably.
Yeah, yeah, that's usually what whenever anybody comes on and agrees with both of us, it usually means we're in.
Now, how about this next game? Who do you like in, the late afternoon game?
Well, I think, I don't know, Denver, you want to say, but, you know, Peyton's not the best playoff quarterback in the world, even though he has a ring. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of game Peyton can lose. That said, I don't really think the Chargers are very good. So Redskins beat the Chargers. That was their last win about 3 months ago. So I saw them then. I don't know. Phillip Rivers has never really impressed me greatly as a quarterback. He tends to find excuses more than and complaints about people than anything else. So, you know, I think you got to go with Denver in this one. And then if I'm not on your show next week, I like New England to get to the Super Bowl. You got to love what they've done. They've just basically gone turn into a smash mouth team all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. You know, Belichick is the smartest guy in the room. So, you know, that's
and he didn't even need to cheat, did he, Rick? He could have just been Bill Belichick all along, and he would have another first round draft choice and $500,000.
Well, he's the best coach in the league.
Yeah,
you know, even on the fair and square. So
absolutely,
you know, I think in the end, I think San Francisco wins the Super Bowl. So I don't have to come on your show in 2 weeks. But
you got that. I won't hurt you.
Well, I'll delete that email that we were about to send out to you.
Hey, Rick, let me ask you another question. Washington, this coming year, okay? I doubt they're going to go 3-13. They've got to win a couple, maybe three more games. What do you see happening? What do you see happening with them? They're going to, unless they trade somebody away, and I don't see them trading Robert Griffin. You would think Gruden's going to keep him around at least a year or two. I don't see Kirk Cousins going anywhere either, do you?
No, I mean, he didn't play that well the three games. I think Cousins is just a guy. I mean, I hate to say this because he's a great guy, but I think as a quarterback, he's just a guy.
Yeah.
And the most you could get for him would probably be a fourth-round pick, so why trade him? That's what he was.
Right.
You know, and you got to keep Griffin. He's your franchise guy, and once you put him back into a friendly offense, I think he'll get a lot better. No first-year Redskin coach has had a winning record since George Allen in 1971. And that's because he took half the Rams with him over.
Yes, he did.
You know, so I think 6-10 is probably what I'm thinking they're going to be without even looking. You know, it's funny, in April I picked the schedule, and I got 10 games right eventually of whether they won or lost them. You know, at the beginning of the season I picked them to go 10-6 and won
so
three games.
I.
So,
yeah.
You know, it's funny, you can see Claire in the offseason sometimes, but they got 21 free agents. They have 7 defensive starters who are free agents, and London Fletcher retiring. So, I mean, if they want to go back to a 4-3, which I don't think they will, but they could, because you're going to change most of your starters anyway.
Right.
So I think they're, you know, the draft, they don't have a top pick, and probably the second rounder, they really should go for a lineman offensively. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got $28 million in cap room to spend this year. Hopefully they don't spend it stupidly. I mean, the key is Brian Orakpo. It's going to be a free agent. He's a pretty good pass rusher in the right situations. He's a 10-sack guy a year. But do you ever pay to keep him? You know, that's a real key. Because if you do that, you're going to lose out elsewhere, and there's too many holes to plug. So you may have to let him go. So I think they're going to radically change over. I mean, most teams probably change a fourth of their roster at least. That's kind of NFL given. I think they'll change maybe half the players on this team at one time. And, you know, probably in 3 years from now, there's 4 guys left or something like that. But they're undergoing radical change, and it's going to take at least 2 years. It's going to take Griffin a year to get this offense in gear, get things back. I still think he can be a terrific quarterback. People are too quick to hate on him.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, he went, to be honest, to say they used to call him Black Jesus in August, and he was the Antichrist by the end of the season. And I'm like, what happened? You know, he hasn't changed that much.
No, it's Washington. It's Washington.
Did he bring any of that? Did he bring any of that on himself, though, with all the media marketing and the Adidas campaign?
Well, maybe a touch, but I think people just were too quick to hate in life anymore.
Yeah.
You know, especially on Twitter, you get the same ones I get.
Yeah. Yeah, I was target number one a couple days ago. So I'm good.
he had SB Nation after him. Hey, Rick, Morocco Brown. I don't know a lot about him. I know Washington hasn't been the only place he's worked in the NFL, but evidently this guy has some skills because he's interviewing for GM jobs somewhere else. Why don't they just you know, make Bruce Allen the, you know, executive VP or president or something, and keep Morocco Brown as a GM? Is he not good enough?
Dan Snyder does not like to promote from within. He always believes the shinier coins down the street are better than whatever he has, whether it's players or personnel or whatever. He's never been a guy to move people up. He always thinks the better things are out there. So they should have. They should have moved Morocco. He's a good NFL pro personnel guy, free agency guy for them, not so much the draft as the NFL part. And he's well-respected. The hard part is the last few years, there's been a lot of talk that Shanahan didn't listen to guys like Brown and staff. So it's hard to judge them based on the personnel moves that were made if they're not the ones behind them. You know, Bruce does a lot of good things. And he will admit he's not the personnel guy. So it will become more of a team thing. And if they lose Brown, that's a big hurt. But he's been, you know, looked around, hasn't been hired yet, so I don't know. Sometimes it takes you an extra year, you know, to go get it. Mm-hmm. So they would like to hold on to him. But he's a good guy. I wish him well.
Hey, you know, there was a time when the Redskins, and it was, you know, when Vinny was here, and we're talking about Vinny Serrato, who now does a radio show in Baltimore. But when Vinny was here, they lost a lot of really good scouts. One of their best scouts is a good friend of mine, or one of the guys that used to be one of their best scouts, and I'm pretty sure you know him, Joel Patton. He's now the director of scouting for the San Francisco 49ers. Rate the Redskins scouting staff just 1 to 5. What would you say?
2.
Yeah, that's what I hear, and that's a problem.
They haven't invested enough in it. They've had an owner who's not listened to it. So it's a little hard to tell sometimes, but I don't think they have enough soldiers in the field like they used to.
Right.
They used to bring in all these scouts. You know, years ago they had a good number of scouts, mm-hmm. and they would bring them in like the month before the draft and have these long meetings. You know, you'd see the guys at training camp who came to see the players that they had advocated for, and then they'd disappear every week to colleges. But they don't, you don't see that anymore.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that manpower loss, while expensive, is necessary to, you know, grind through and find people. And I just haven't seen it with them anymore.
So Gruden in his press conference came out and he said that he's never met a play that he didn't like that works. What are the chances that this offense that we've seen the last couple of years with Griffin, the spread and the run first, what are the chances that that gets run next season? And if the plan is to make RG3 a pocket passer, what are the chances that we see a big, you know, improvement from RG3 this next coming year?
Well, I think there's a lot of things at play. One, his brace should come off. I don't think they're going to make him play with a brace next year, and that was a little hard on him. It's a big, bulky thing.
Yeah.
So that's going to help. He's also going to at least trust initially a new offensive coordinator to try some things that he wouldn't do with Shanahan's. I think he mentally shut down on them and felt that they weren't looking after his best interest. And, you know, there was a little immaturity there maybe, but, you know, he's going to be a happier guy to go after things. Hopefully he has a better offensive line to protect them. I think Gruden's going to be a little all over the place. He's going to try and do some things that RG's very good at. He said if Griffin doesn't like a play, he won't use it. That's not to say Robert picks the plays, but you know what that means is if he's not very good at doing this type of play, they're not going to do it, which only seems to make sense, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Shanahan just always had that round peg square thing, you know, mentality of forcing things to happen, and the smart guy works with the personnel. So I do expect a better year from him for so many reasons. He also gets an off season, which he did not have last year, to be out there, and that is critical to improvement. I know it sounds crazy on a practice field to walk through plays and do these things, but it is critical for that to happen. So after a whirlwind couple years, he's decompressing now. He's out in Hawaii and all these kind of things. They want him to relax a little bit and then come back fresh once the staff kind of knows which way they want to go. I don't see him as a classic pocket passer. Why would you even take him? You know, everybody knew that coming in.
Right.
He would have wasted all this effort on him and all these picks, like the number 2 pick in the draft they don't have this year as part of the trade for him. That would have been a colossal franchise-busting move if you try and force him into being a pocket passer. He's not that. So let him be what he is. You know, you can do some pocket stuff, but you got to risk him on the outside. And if he gets hurt, then that's just the way it is. But you got to let, you know,
You got to let people be what they are to succeed. Otherwise, they're not going to, and that's what we saw this year.
I saw a guy that we both know. I'm not going to say his name because I don't have his permission to do so. But he's a former Redskin, and we were talking a little bit about them. And he, you know, he's out at the park all the time. He's part of the media. And I asked him what he thought about Kyle Shanahan, because I thought Kyle did a pretty good job, especially last year working with Robert. And then this year, you know, there was just so much going back and forth. I thought Mike was the problem. That was what I was told by certain people. This person told me that no, it really wasn't Mike. He had a lot of respect for Mike. It was Kyle he couldn't stand. Is there anything you can add to that?
I've heard that, and it surprises me greatly. I've been a reporter in college 36 years. I read people very well. That's what I do. I don't see Kyle that way. Now, I wasn't around him every day and in the back, but I don't see it. I see it the other way around with Mike. Now, I know a lot of players really liked working for Mike. And at the end of the season, that last game, everybody pretty much went to see Mike before they landed to say thank you for a lot of things. So
right.
It tells you a lot. Guys like Krzyzewski, you think, God, dude, coach, but his players love him to death, and you have to think there's got to be something there you don't see.
Right.
But I don't see Kyle being this big jerk.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, I didn't either.
A lot of sour grapes.
I'm glad that you said that, because I'm hoping the kid, you know, gets a job somewhere as an OC and gets back to the big game. Because in my opinion,
Miami seems like the place.
Yeah, yeah, he'll be with Philbin if he's down there. Russell Baxter, thank you so much. At Bax, BAX football. I'm sorry, this is Rick Snyder. My bad. At Snide underscore remarks. Now you're definitely not coming on next week,
well,
Ricky.
Well, after I lose those games, you can call me Russell.
That's hey, can I tell you what? I'll let everybody know. Hey, Rick, you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to going and handicapping some horses with you sometime. All right, buddy?
That'd be good.
Hey, you have a great weekend, okay? We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. See you.
We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
So I guess it's that time of the day to do our own picks. I suppose we should start breaking down these games of this day. And Bruce, what really is...
I got like 10 more people calling in the next half hour. We're having a party
with
here.
Us, you know, well, I hope you can multitask.
Well, you know, Russ,
four of them are Russ Baxter.
Yeah, Russell.
It's all Russ.
Four of them are Russ. And by the way, Russ is like having four guys call in.
It's just Russ.
I love
doing,
Russ.
Doing a bunch of different voices.
It's you know, the same I heard. Number, you know, really. What's funny is on my way into the show this morning, I heard Russ. He was on. He was on some national show.
Get off my radio.
It was John. What's the guy? John Kincaid.
I'm
pretty sure he was on the Kincaid show.
Yeah, I was listening to that too.
You know, Kincaid's good. I love Kincaid. Kincaid's great on Twitter too. But follow me at Bruce Hall Sports, or follow Roy Edwards on any number of Twitter accounts.
Mm-hmm. Sportsman Cave. Roy, is the main
sports
one.
At Sportsman Cave.
Help me get to 1,700 followers.
Hey, help
today,
him
guys.
Not get sued by.
I only need like
ESPN
five more.
Nation.
Yeah.
So what did they say? They didn't like something you were doing or something?
I don't know.
Let's not talk about it.
They were
probably
it. On
They're
my site copying
now.
And pasting another article like they always do, and I call them out for it. You can check that on Twitter. They copy and paste my articles all the time.
Hey,
and then write via multiple sources.
Hey,
like, those are my words. Yeah. Just because somebody texted you that doesn't mean you can paste it.
Well, you know, I don't paste anything. I just
I
retweet.
That's
if you
how
retweet,
I feel.
You know what I do? I retweet, then I say what I really think.
I'm waiting today because yesterday, out of West Virginia, I broke a story. A lot of you know that I'm very close with a lot of the beat reporters at WVU, and I produce one of the main beat reporters. I produce his radio show out of WVNT in Parkersburg. So I broke a story of Ford Childress, the redshirt freshman quarterback at WVU, that he was suspended by the university for academic reasons. Then he did not enroll for the spring semester, and he's transferred to a JUCO, and he plans to play or try to play at Texas A&M. So
I
broke this story, so I am just waiting for SB Nation to just copy and paste it. I just want it to happen. I've been keeping an eye on you smoking musty guys. So if it happens, prepare to be called out again. Again.
No, I hear you. You know, it's funny. The thing that I like the most about the NFL season is it's like writing a book. You know, it's a novel, but it's nonfiction, which I read, and every week is a different chapter. You know, you basically have 17 chapters, and you have more than that because you can start in the preseason. Yeah. You can even start with a draft.
You can really start now.
You could, you know, somebody, the NFL every year should publish a book that is the NFL season book.
Well, let's not talk about that anymore, and then do it ourselves and bank.
Oh, never mind. I didn't say that.
Nobody do that.
Oh, they just sue the crap out of us. Is all they do. I'm Bruce Hall,
or just put us on blast.
And I'm asking for trouble. And by the way, I read there was a good thing in the Post. I can't remember if it was Bart Hubbuck or whatever his name is, the guy with the New York Post. But it was a good article about the New York Giants. And basically what the article said was they really didn't do much. And when they tried to do it, they were pretty bad at it. And they really need to, you know. What I got out of the article was the Giants are 4 years away from being back in the Super Bowl.
What about the Jets?
I think, well, here's one thing I don't understand. By the way, the Jets had the fourth healthiest team. The fourth healthiest team in the league. You know who had the healthiest team in the league? You're going to laugh. The Washington Redskins.
They went
3-13 with the healthiest team, meaning they didn't lose starting positions. Their entire offensive line started the season and finished the season. Mm. And they were horrible.
I'm trying to think if they really lost. And I mean, Hankerson got hurt, but
yeah,
Hankerson
was a big. Well, Hankerson was their two or three guy, and he's a great blocker.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll give you that.
But it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't Hank. It was everything. It was the defense. Anytime the Redskins. And by the way, I like to thank Rick Snyder.
Yes, get his name
for coming on and doing what he does best, which
is
talking.
Even if it's the last
time. Let me tell you something. Ricky Snyder, in my opinion, is like the most valuable player in Washington from a media standpoint. He does everything. Plus, he's got that business where he's a tour guide. He takes people on tours of Arlington Cemetery. He does Lincoln assassination tours. He does, you know, everything. Not only does he do all of that, two of his girls just got married, I think, this year. I mean, so he's had to pay for two weddings.
That's why he's doing the tour.
But Ricky, thank you for coming on, and we are going to have you on soon. And I'm going to drag him out to Laurel or Pimlico sometime.
You guys come to Pimlico, and we'll do the whole behind the scenes.
We'll do the horse racing thing.
We'll do the behind the scenes.
Trying to get Danny Kelly of At Field Goals on the show. He's a great guy, but obviously after Seattle won. He's and plus they were probably up till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Still sleeping.
Yeah, he is asleep.
I mean, what time is it in Seattle right now?
It's early.
Early.
It's kind of early.
I wouldn't be awake.
Sean Salisbury is doing real well. By the way,
he's got his own show now.
Yeah. Well, he's doing two shows. But here's the deal with Sean. Make sure everydamndown.com. Go to everydamndown.com.
And buy a
t-shirt. Like it sounds, everydamndown.com. And buy some of his clothes because that'll help him.
And then send him an email and tell him that we told.
We're
you
trying
to that.
Put. We're trying to put Sean through college. We're trying to get him a master's degree in health and physical education and everything. Adam Carriker, I talk to all the time. You know, Adam's been out now almost 2 years with that really bad, you know, quad rip that he had. Mm-hmm. Guys that squat like 800 pounds generally rip quads. Adam's one of
those
guys.
That's how I ripped my first quad.
Yeah, squatting 110 pounds.
No, 800. It was 800.
800 pounds.
I must have done 800
ounces.
Times.
800 ounces. We're gonna have either Clark Judge or Tony Mazur
or whoever calls first. Ready? 2-4-3-1-7.
Yeah, I was sitting here trying to get Tony to call.
You
now.
Could be our next guest.
But let's do this. Let's talk about the first game real quick.
Yes.
If Carolina's going to win this game. By the way, do you have a straight cash homie today? I didn't think so. What'd you do? Just get to sleep like late last night?
No, I just don't like either of the games.
You don't?
I mean, if I had to.
You don't think San Francisco's your straight cash homie? Out
I mean,
of the two?
I really like that game.
Well,
and,
with the points, with the
Super
points,
Bowl,
with the points.
I mean, I just
tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give everybody. I'm going to give everybody.
You know
give,
what?
I'm going to give everybody a game.
Play the music.
Play
because
the music.
That's going to be my straight cash homie.
Straight cash
Bruce
homie.
Bruce Hall has talked me into it.
Look at Matt trying to figure out how his board works. Yeah, that's right. Straight cash homie.
The San Francisco 49ers are now my straight cash homie play of the week. I really liked them, but now I love them because Bruce nudged me.
You know what? I love them too. And by the way, we weren't the only ones. Rick Snyder, who is always wrong, he loved them.
Now, if Tony Mazur calls in and tells me he likes Carolina, then I quit.
Yeah, because you know what'll happen.
Because the Carolina
hit.
Yes.
Carolina will hit.
I quit.
He better not call
if he
and
does.
Say that.
Actually, Tony, just take a day off.
Let me ask you a question. San Diego, are they for real or not? We're going to find out today because San Diego, guess what they're going to have to... You know what? You know who has to step up today for San Diego? Not Phillip Rivers. That goes without saying. No, not Ryan Matthews. He's hurt. He's probably hardly going to play. It's going to be Mr. Gates, who I haven't heard a damn thing from because remember how they won last week? They ran the football just like New England did. They're going to still try to run the football because you can run the football against the Denver Bronco defense, especially with some of their best guys out. How are their defensive backs for Denver? Not real good. How do you hedge in this game? Listen to me, people. Play the over for a little bit.
Yeah.
Tease the over with Denver and the San Francisco Giants. That is the play. Are you listening, Timmy?
I am.
Tease, three-team teaser, 10 points. San Francisco, well, you'll get plus 10, basically.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get Denver plus 2.5, 3, even if it gets to 7. And you'll get over 44 points in a game where you know Peyton's going to put up 38.
Mm-hmm.
And if Rivers is going to stay close, that's why the hedge. If Rivers keeps them close and you lose the Denver minus 7.5, because you got to play them straight up. You got to. They're at home. And it's Peyton Manning. And it may, yeah, but I got to tell you
well,
something.
I'll give you 5 reasons why the Chargers win today.
Well, no, wait. Oh, no, no. Oh, Roy, you got to do this. Do this for everybody.
All right, so, guys, so this.
Listen to this because this is documented.
This is me researching and just sitting at a computer and just being bored and being like, you know what?
That is the weirdest stuff because it includes Redskins.
The Chargers are a team of destiny. And you know, the more that I dug into this kind of stuff, the more freaked out I started to get. I didn't put all of them on here, but here are 5 reasons why the San Diego Chargers are your
number one
2013-14 Super Bowl champs. Ready? Number one, they played the Eagles in the Eagles' home opener. Now, for the last 4 seasons, the Philadelphia Eagles and Lincoln Financial Stadium, they have played host to the eventual Super Bowl champions.
What are the chances of that? Let me figure this out. 16 times 16, whatever that is.
It's a lot.
That's a big,
it's a big number.
Well, it's not even that. It's more than that. You know why? Because you have to have a winner.
Yeah.
So it's probably 16 times 16 times 2.
Well, they don't even have to beat the team.
They just had to play them.
They just have to show up in Lincoln Financial at the Eagles' home opener. Boom, Super Bowl champions.
And that's not a conference game either. That was an AFC game.
Very
AFC and NFC game.
Last
so that's
year,
probably more than 2.
Last year, it was the Baltimore Ravens, obviously.
And they won.
And the Eagles won, but Ravens Super Bowl champs. Number 2 on the list.
Giants.
They played on wild card weekend. Whereas going back to the 2010 NFL season, the winner of the Super Bowl has played on Wild Card Weekend. The Packers, Giants, and Ravens all played on Wild Card Weekend.
Wow.
We haven't had a 1 or 2 seed win in some time. Number 3, the Washington Redskins beat them. Going back to the 2010 season, when Sean Sweezum missed a field goal to beat the New Orleans Saints, the Saints went on to win that Super Bowl. If the Redskins had actually play like a football team, they would have beat them.
Now, the odds of that are incredibly high because a coach just lost his job.
That's right.
Because he coached the Washington Redskins, so they lose a lot more often than they win.
That's right. The Redskins have beat they beat the Packers, they beat the Ravens, and this year they beat the San Diego Chargers.
We're getting into 7 figures as far as odds here. We're like in the hundreds of thousands odds-wise.
They went streaking.
Now, there's another one, right?
Number 4, they went streaking.
Oh, my God.
Dating back to the modern era of NFL, I went all the way back to 1980. I probably could have kept going, but I stopped there. Every single Super Bowl team has gone on a 4-game winning streak. The San Diego Chargers did it going into the postseason.
That means, Roy, That's even more interesting because that one of the reasons that happens is because these teams were not a 1 or a 2 seed where they could sit down their last game and sit. They had to win continually.
That's right.
Like San Diego.
And there's one more, the final one, number 5. They're going through the 1 seed, meaning they have to beat the 1 seed to win the Lombardi Trophy.
And that's a double.
Because
it could be a 2 seed just as easily.
The last 4 Super Bowl winners, including the New Orleans Saints, who was the 1 seed, had to beat the AFC 1 seed to win that
Super Bowl. I want one of those really smart Westchester County high school kids in science to figure out what the odds are of that happening.
Crazy odds.
And get back to us. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. We'll be back in a minute on News Talk 1230 WFAS. That music sucks.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BH Sports. Now, here's your host, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back for our last segment. I'm still trying to figure out. I got a new microphone, and it's really cool. Russ, how you doing, buddy?
Ducky, how are you?
You're doing super. Are you up there in Connecticut?
It is actually very mild up here today. We had snow during the week, and we had some rain yesterday, and so now I got to go put on some sunscreen, I think.
You know, the weather...
It's because Bill Belichick made it rain yesterday. That's why.
Yeah, he did. He did, and it worked out well for him. Hey, thanks for calling in. As usual, we got to get how you feel about a couple of games. The games yesterday kind of happened. You know, everything worked out the way it should have. It was very interesting, in my opinion. I'm sitting here screaming at Marshawn Lynch to fall down when he's running for that touchdown because I wanted to see them run two or three plays and kick a 20-yard field goal to end the game and cover the point spread. Ha, ha, ha. And he runs it in, and, of course, there's 2 minutes and 45 seconds left. And I'm going, and Pete's celebrating, as Pete always does after every first down or touchdown. And I'm going, what are you celebrating for? You're jinxing them.
Chest bumping is
and they And that ended up being a lot closer than it should have been. And if it wasn't for a certain wide receiver on the New Orleans Saints, that could have ended up differently, couldn't it?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It was, I thought what the Saints did was interesting because they didn't run the ball with the persistency that they did in the playoffs. They ran the ball pretty well yesterday. They ran it persistently. And that's what opened up the passing later in the game. They had over 400 yards of total offense, and that wasn't garbage time yards. So it's very intriguing to watch Seattle's defense, but that's been the hallmark of the Seahawks for not the whole season, but a lot of part of the season. When they don't play their best game, they've still found other ways to win, which is obviously the sign of a pretty good team.
Yeah, they did. And then last night, Russ, I didn't take a nap yesterday afternoon, so I had to go to bed around 10:30 because I was just falling asleep.
We read him a story.
And evidently, I didn't miss anything.
He knocked right out.
Because it looked to me like New England could do anything they want. And I'm not going to – I've already kind of beat it with a dead horse today. But don't think there was any cheating going on in the stadium last night at all. And I think that really, honestly, they did exactly what they had to do, which was hit him with body punches so the head would fall. And it did, boy. Andrew Luck made a couple of big mistakes. Indianapolis looked like they had enough for about a half, and that was about it. What did you think about that game?
Well, not exactly a battle of very good defenses. And how do you help your defense? You run the football. And, I keep hearing about this quarterback-driven league. Have I missed something?
Yeah.
What is in this league is balanced. This is not a one. It might be quarterback-driven league in terms of promotional. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Well, that's why Marquise Colston threw the ball.
Yeah.
He wants to be a quarterback.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear any of that.
Don't worry about it.
It was
Russ.
A bad joke.
It was a bad joke. He was talking about Marcus Colston wanting to be a quarterback.
He wants to be a quarterback. That's why he threw it. There it is.
Oh, no, I think you were right. I think you were absolutely right. It was a bad joke.
oh, man.
Russ, you're the best, buddy. Keep going, but come on. Don't let him interrupt you anymore.
Do you guys realize that the winning teams in the playoffs, the six games that have been won by teams are averaging 176 yards on the ground?
I love it. That's my kind of ball. My kind of ball.
And figure this one out. The winning quarterbacks, the six winning quarterbacks, have combined to throw seven touchdown passes and six interceptions. Six losing quarterbacks have thrown 11 touchdowns and six interceptions.
Wow.
Bottom line, this is not a one-man game. All the gaudy personal numbers that get put up mean little or nothing a lot of times. That's why you don't see a guy who throws for 5,000 yards win a Super Bowl yet. And all it'll take is one to break that. That's why you've seen a handful of teams with the NFL rushing champion not win the Super Bowl.
So it's
got to be a team effort, offense, defense, special teams, And New England looks like it's kind of playing that way, although I think their defense, for a lot of different reasons, is still very suspect.
So what does that mean for Peyton Manning?
Today, what's going
to
happen?
Well, the magic number to watch in that game is 38. The Broncos average 38 points a game. In the two games that San Diego played Denver this year, they had over 38 minutes of time of possession.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you counteract that? You take the ball out of Peyton Manning's hands to a degree and hand it off and out-ball control San Diego instead of them out-ball controlling you. Mm-hmm. And that's how you do it. And the Broncos could do that against this San Diego defense, which is not a great defensive unit. Okay, it takes patience and it takes persistence. But I did a piece this week. I think people, I understand the fascination with Peyton Manning and how he, not the Colts, have been one and out, or the Broncos have been one and out, ten. You know, it's amazing. But yet, the year he won the Super Bowl as the starting quarterback, in the postseason, he threw three touchdowns and seven picks.
That's right.
Okay, but here's what people forget. All four games, the Colts ran for 100 yards, at least. All four games, they ran the ball at least 30 times. It's a balanced league, just like Joe Flacco last year. Does anybody believe Joe Flacco won the Super Bowl on his own last year?
No.
Well, no.
The Ravens did, apparently, because they paid him 100 and whatever.
No. See, I don't think that's fair at all. I don't think that's fair at all. First off, you wouldn't turn down that money, would you?
I would not. No, absolutely not.
They paid it. You got to understand something. They did not pay him for the Super Bowl. They paid him for 5 years. Okay? That's really what that was.
Right.
They paid him for getting to the playoffs and never missing a game, winning a playoff game every year. That was the payoff for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, all that money didn't affect their salary cap that much.
Right, the way they set it up, right.
It made down the road. So I think, let's put it this way. If that was a quarterback we liked, everybody would be fine with the money he got.
Right.
But, you know, Joe Flacco is under that category of guys we don't like.
Right.
But it's true. Tony Romo got a lot of big money. We don't like him.
Yeah. Well, Jay Cutler got a deal eerily similar.
I really don't like Jay Cutler.
Flacco's, and I think that's a good deal for the Bears. So, yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you see, but the Cutler thing, that's also a salary cap deal. I mean, mm-hmm. Do you really think Jay Cutler's going to be there another 7 years?
No, but they set it up that way that he doesn't really
exactly.
have to.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I thought what the Bears did was very, very smart in this sense. Not the money, not the length of time, not all that stuff. The fact that they addressed it in, was it December or January? Whatever, whenever it was.
Yeah.
Not March, as they got closer to the deadline. Remember last year, Jermon Bushrod, Kyle Long, Jordan Mills, Matt Slauson, all the changes they made on the offensive line, the philosophy on offense. They did all that to see if Jay Cutler could play. And I know he got hurt again, but for the most part, he played respectably. I wouldn't say he played great, but I think he played respectably. Never mind that the Chicago Bears gave up 478 yards.
They were bad. They made the Redskins' defense look decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, Russ, let me
ask you. You know what's funny that you said that?
What?
I don't think they made the Redskins' defense look decent. You know why?
Why?
Both gave up 478 points.
Exactly. They reminded me of each other. And you know we just had
that. I will definitely yes. They will yeah. That's exactly. And how fitting when they played each other. It was 45-41.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. And they were great games to watch too.
Right.
They were
Bears
fun.
Bears made the investment in the Jay Cutler starting last year. So mm-hmm. for them to pull the plug right now,
right, wouldn't have made sense.
Right.
Look at Jay, and I'm not a psychologist. I don't play one on TV, and I've never stayed at a Holiday Inn Express, not yet at least, but. You know how the demeanor of Jay Cutler, okay? And it certainly has changed. But I think instead of him letting his mind wander on whether the Bears were going to bring him back, okay, we're done with the season. Let's get the business in 2014. First priority, we're telling everybody Jay's coming back. Now, Jay could get cut after next year. We
right.
know all that.
Yeah.
Right.
At least they made the decision now and look like an organization that had made a commitment rather than one that was wavering. That's where I liked what they did with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Russ, while I got you on the phone, we got a couple of minutes left before the end of the show. That early game, San Francisco and Carolina, who do you like here? And who do you think the better quarterback is right now between Cap and my buddy with the Carolina Panthers, big boy?
I think Cam Newton is the better quarterback because he's more consistent, and he's also he's had more playing time than Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick's a little inconsistent, but I think a big factor in this game today is the playoff experience of the Niners and the lack of playoff experience. Usually playoff experience can mean nothing, but sometimes when it's up against a team that hasn't been there, you know, we always hear about playoff experience.
Right.
But you might be facing a team that's just as experienced as you are. There is definitely a difference in how many Panthers have been to the playoffs opposed to how many Niners have been the last 3 years. And I think that will play a little bit of a part. By the way, I've said this everywhere else, so I'll say it here. I think the winner of today's game goes into Seattle and wins and goes to the Super Bowl.
You know what? I like that you said that because if it's San Francisco, they very well could do it because they seem like they're on a little bit of a mission. And you're a numbers guy, and we got about a minute left here, Russ. And by the way, we're on the phone with Russ Baxter, at Bax Football Guru, and he's also ProFootballGuru.com. Correct?
Also, I'm a lot of alsos.
You're everything, Russ. That's right. Let me ask you this real quick. Last thing, you know, they are 0-3 after a bye week. Carolina Panthers under this coach. Do you think that number means anything at all today?
No, I don't, because I think the number that's more important is the fact that they're 11-1 in their last 12 games. Hmm. And, you know, when they were 1-3, after being 2-8 the previous 2 years, you know, the buzzers were flying and were circling, I should say, and with very, very good reason.
Right.
Up to the that they got off to.
Russell, we got to run. I got to get out. But, Russ, thanks for calling in, man.
Enjoy
I can't. Hey, and I'll be back with you soon. We'll be back next week.